Unto the fourth generation, chapter 97. Come, boys and girls, in our thoughts we will go to the royal palace in Samaria. As we are about to enter one of the rooms, we suddenly stand still, for a man lies there upon his knees. He is the king of Israel. Jehu is dead. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigns in the place of his father. Hearken, he is praying to the living God of Israel. He is asking the Lord to help him, to deliver him from his enemies who are oppressing him. Is Jehoahaz a God-fearing king as David was? Oh no, if that were only true. He is an unconverted king, who will not worship the Lord in truth. He worships the golden calves of Dan and Bethel, as his father Jehu did. The people faithfully follow their monarch in this bad example. The Lord was greatly offended because of this, therefore he punished the king as well as his subjects. When Jehu was still alive, Hazael came with his mighty army and conquered all the land on the other side of Jordan. We told you about that in our former chapter, didn't we? We saw how cruel Hazael was. The Lord is punishing Jehoahaz. Hazael and his Syrian soldiers cross Jordan and will make an effort to conquer the land of Canaan. Jehoahaz goes out against him with his army and tries to stop this enemy, but he is not successful. The reason is that the Lord does not bless the king in the battles. His army is totally defeated. Many thousands of his courageous soldiers are slain. Jehoahaz becomes the servant of Hazael. Not only he, but all the people must serve the Syrians. The best fruits from their fields and vineyards, and the fattest cows and sheep from their stables must be given to the enemy. That is very distressing and vexatious. It continues in that manner for many years. But why doesn't Jehoahaz drive away the Syrians? Why doesn't he rise up and rebel against Hazael? Alas, he cannot. He scarcely has any soldiers left. He has only 10 chariots, 50 horsemen, and a few thousand soldiers. The others are dead. They were slain in battle. Oh, these are dark, sorrowful days for the Israelites. The Syrians are never satisfied. They ask continually for more. Hazael oppresses Israel severely. In this great distress, Jehoahaz, Israel's king, bends his knees before the Lord, the God of Israel. The golden calves cannot help him, so he asks God for deliverance, for relief. It wasn't because Jehoahaz received a new heart, or that he was converted to God in uprightness. Oh no, he asks only to be delivered from the punishment. And still, God answered the prayer of this unconverted king. The Lord will help Israel. The Lord will deliver them out of this great misery. Oh, boys and girls, by this we see the Lord also answers the prayers of unconverted people. How is it with you? Are you careless? Do you belong to the mockers or the cursers? Bend your knees and ask the Lord to deliver you from your wicked heart. Who knows? The Lord may also answer your prayer and give you a new heart. Do not say, "The Lord will not answer me," because you do not know. Try it. The prayer of Jehoahaz was answered. Jehoahaz reigned over Israel 17 years. Then he died, and his son Joash became king in his place. A young man hurries through the streets of Samaria. Who is he? He is Joash, the young king of Israel. Let us go with him to see where he is going. Most likely he is going through the gate of Samaria to a house which lies a short distance outside the city. This is written in the Bible that he came down. You know that Omri, the father of Ahab, built Samaria upon a mountain. Joash descends this mountain and soon enters a humble home. A little later, he stands in a room where a very old man is lying upon a bed. He is the prophet Elisha, who is nearly 90 years old. Joash heard that Elisha was sick and went immediately to visit him. At a glance, the king can see that Elisha is seriously ill. Yes, he observes that the prophet lies upon his deathbed. Tears fill his eyes. He cannot miss him. Did Joash fear the Lord? No. Joash also worshipped the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. But still, he has respect for the prophet of the Lord. Hearken to what the king says. O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What does the king mean? What does this signify? By this, Joash wants to say that Elisha is worth more than a large, mighty army with many chariots and thousands of horsemen. Suddenly, Elisha braces himself a little and says to the king, "Open that window." After Joash has done this, the prophet orders him to shoot an arrow toward the east through the opened window. When Joash raises the bow, Elisha lays his old trembling hands upon the hands of the king. Elisha does this so Joash would know that the Lord and no one else would help him. While the arrow whizzes away, the prophet says, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." Why must this arrow be shot towards the east? Because the Syrian army, the enemy and oppressor, lay in the east. "Now smite upon the ground with the arrows," Elisha commands the king. Joash smites once, twice, three times, and then he stops. Probably he thought to be hitting the ground seemingly without a purpose was a little childish. Elisha looks at him with an angry look and says, "Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Shortly after this, Elisha dies. He went to eternal glory, where no wars will be fought, and no Syrians will ever oppress. A few friends carry away his dead body and bury it. His death is a heavy blow to the Israelites. He sought the welfare of his people during his entire life. A short time later, someone else was being buried. Who it was, we do not know, but while they were carrying him to the grave, they spied a plundering band of Moabites coming in the distance. The Moabites also invaded the land every year, robbing and plundering everything in their path. As this band approaches, those men frighten exceedingly. They dare not bring the corpse of this man any further for fear of the Moabites. At this moment, they happen to be near the grave of Elisha. They hastily cast this corpse into Elisha's grave and return to the city. But look, the dead man who fell upon the corpse of Elisha suddenly becomes alive. He stands up, leaves the grave, and also seeks a safe shelter. Children, by this the Lord would show the Israelites, even after Elisha had died, that Elisha had been a servant of his. What Elisha had foretold on his deathbed to Joash was fulfilled. Three times after each other the Syrian army was defeated. Joash drove the Syrians back to the other side, Jordan. So the land this side of Jordan was cleared of the Syrians. What a blessing! What a great blessing! Surely from now on Joash would serve the Lord, wouldn't he? Alas, children, no, Joash did not. He continued to worship the golden calves until the time of his death. This was such unthankfulness, wasn't it? The Lord helped him very much. The Syrian oppressors were defeated three times. All the land of Canaan, except on the other side Jordan, was free again. Yes, even when Amaziah, the king of Judah, declared war against Joash, so that he had to fight against Judah, the Lord gave Joash the victory in that battle. Triumphantly he entered Jerusalem and returned into his own land, richly laden with spoil. Later we will tell you more about this conflict. Still, Joash refused to serve the Lord. The worship of the calves was retained in Israel. Joash reigned over Israel 16 years. Then death came for him. Oh, that was very terrible for him, and for he died as an unconverted king. A new sovereign sits upon the throne of Israel. Who is he? He is the son of Joash. His name is Jeroboam. This is the second Jeroboam. The first Jeroboam, who made the golden calves, became king after the death of Solomon. The second Jeroboam is the son of Joash, from the family of Jehu. Jeroboam II is a vigorous king and a mighty monarch. He also fights against the Syrians, and the Lord gives him the victory. He is able to drive the Syrians out of the land on the other side Jordan, so that the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh again are free. Under the reign of Jeroboam II, Israel becomes strong and mighty. The enemies are defeated in all places. The nation again lives in peace and prosperity. They are not compelled to give the best to the enemy. God has delivered Israel. He has given relief. Oh, the Lord has been so good for the people of Israel. And do the Israelites honor the Lord for their deliverance? Do they worship the Lord from now on? No, they do not worship the Lord. Jeroboam II and the people bow down before the golden calves. How is that possible? Yes, even worse, all kinds of horrible sins are shamefully practiced. They continually go further away from the Lord. Throughout the entire land they curse and mock with the worship of the Lord. Many live in drunkenness. The rich steal and cheat the poor. Isn't that dreadful? They act as though there is no God in heaven. Still, the Lord warned that sinful, unthankful nation by his prophets. During the reign of Jeroboam II, the prophets Amos, Hosea, and Jonah preached. Always and continually, these servants of God warned the people against sin and showed them that they should worship the Lord. But it seems as though it is all in vain. The Israelites do not listen. They keep on living in sin. they continue to do all kinds of wicked and ungodly deeds. In the end, and that would not turn out for their good. When nothing helped, the Lord came with his punishments. The Lord did not send enemies this time, but other calamities strike them. No rain fell for months, causing everything to wither. The harvest was a failure, and famine came. The Lord also sent a terrible pestilence. Many people became sick and died. But all these things were to no profit. The Israelites continued to anger the Lord by their sins. No matter whether the Lord sent blessings or punishments, nothing helped. If those people will not listen, the Lord will afflict them to a greater degree. Israel will not be allowed to remain in their own land. Enemies will come, mighty enemies who will not only oppress the Israelites, but will carry them away as prisoners to a land which is far away. There they shall roam about as exiles. The Lord will not be mocked forever. There will be a time when the patience of the Lord will come to an end. The same applies to our nation, boys and girls. Much cursing and mocking is done in our land, and drunkenness prevails. The peoples of our nation live in horrible sins. They will not worship the Lord. The Lord has blessed us, and he has afflicted us too. But we too refuse to return to the Lord, the only true God. But if nothing will change us as a nation, the Lord will send heavier punishments upon us. Probably the time will come when we also will be carried away as captives to a far country, because the God of Israel still lives. One day the patience of God will come to an end for us. Therefore, boys and girls, let us seek the Lord before it is too late. It is still possible. It is not yet too late. Jeroboam the second reigned 41 years over Israel. That was long, wasn't it? Finally, he died. Then it was too late for him. Eternally too late. Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam the second, succeeds his father as king over Israel. Alas, he does the same as the former kings did. As his forefathers, he serves the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. He doesn't reign very long, only 6 months. He was murdered by Shalom. Zechariah was the last king from the family of Jehu. You know, don't you, that Jehu wiped out the kingly family of Ahab, and he did away with the worship of Baal. At that time, the Lord promised Jehu that his sons would sit upon the throne unto the fourth generation. This promise was fulfilled. Jehoahaz was the first. Joash was the second. Jeroboam the second was the third. And Zechariah was the fourth king after Jehu. But because Zechariah did as the others, by not serving the Lord, he fell by the hand of the murderer, Shalom.